She's the talk of the town. You wanna be around to hear what Marge will say. What's going on in our hometown? What's the buzz today? She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give Marge a cheer. Marge Hazelette. She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give her a cheer. Marge Hazelette.
And here we are. It is Friday, the first Friday in December 2018. Talk of the Town with Marge Hazelette, and we're back for another wonderful week here. Now, Marge, one of the things I want to talk to you about as we start the program today is for a long time on this program, your co-host was Nan Weir. And Nan, last year, about a year ago now, mm-hmm. that she had a car accident, pretty serious car accident, and her husband is not doing well. She talked about that. Somebody called the other day. How's Nan doing? Have you talked to her recently?
Oh, not in the last couple weeks, no.
Well, we just want to send her our best thoughts at the holiday time and
right. hope well, maybe I can get her to come over.
Yeah. I know it's tough with a spouse who's not feeling
but
so
But I think
well.
If you called her and invited her to come over to be on a show, she'd be right over here.
Well, you know what I might do? Our Christmas party will be coming up here in a couple weeks, and I'll invite her to that.
That would be wonderful.
Because that's always a fun time.
Oh, yeah, she'd love that.
We do it on the air, and we invite in the little kids, the Leszewski family,
We
all sing Christmas carols, and it's a fun night.
Yeah, she'd love it.
Now, I thought a topic that we would come, because we're in the holiday season, is why do people treat the elderly different?
Well, I've given that a lot of thought in my life. Because I have worked with the elderly. I did as a young kid. We would walk the 3 miles out to this home for the older people and take cookies and cakes and everything that we had made. And a group of us did this every year. And we had an awful lot of fun. And I always said I would make sure that I would take care of my parents. I would take care of any elderly person that would really need me. And I've done a lot of that. And I don't mind doing it. And I've always liked doing it. And I was a third grader when my grandmother died in my arms. She was not well. My dad didn't want to go to work, but my mother insisted that, you know, during the war, people didn't take off from work. So my dad went to work. And I went up to sit with my grandmother. And she went like that, and I walked over to her, and I took her, and she fell into my arms. I will never forget the feeling. I will never forget it as long as I live. But I loved her to death, and I love any older person, and I have taken care of a lot of them. And I enjoy it. I don't do it for anything. I don't accept money from it. Put it toward helping somebody else.
Well, that's a sad thing that I always think about. I don't know why society looks upon people who are past retirement age as not useful. That is one of the best resources that we have of people who maybe now have a little more time because they're retired. They know a lot because they've been around a long time. And I just don't understand that. I've never understood. And, you know, other countries aren't like this.
No. I can tell you that I think with this past week, with what Bush did all his life, because he took care of people all the time. And I think he's a great example of a person who really had an interest in helping the elderly. And certainly at 90, what was it, four?
94.
That he was able to, see, I still remember
that. You remember that, yes.
So I'm not that far gone. But anyway, I think it's hard. It's a hardship on him because we worry about what we say. We worry about where we go. We worry about how we dress. And I certainly dress okay because my clothes are not that old. And Elder Berman knows that I bought them out.
Well,
everybody does.
It's an interesting thing because of all the ceremony this past week with President Bush. You know what it made me think was nobody gets it right all the time.
No.
But I think he tried. I think he tried very hard. And I think he was a gentleman. And I think he was somebody who you could look at and you could be proud of. And you could say, you know, that's a very dignified person.
Right. And he certainly lived up to being able to help people in his last moments.
That's true.
I love you.
Yeah. Last words. Last words to his son. And, you know, you think about that because it was a week ago today he died.
Right.
And they said that morning he woke up and he ate a good breakfast. And then just as the day went on, because they said, do you want to go to the hospital again? And he said, you know, I want to go see my wife. And that's what he did.
That's exactly right.
And he was at peace with it. And 94 is not bad.
No, no, it is not. And I think that when people talk to you and push you down and make you think you're a little bit off balance, I think that's a very sad thing that people do to each other.
Well, it is. And I think one of the things I garnered from President Bush was the one thing I kept looking at was the letter he left for Bill Clinton. Now, Bill Clinton was a completely different party than him.
Uh-huh.
Bill Clinton's the man who beat him, and so he wouldn't have a second term as president. And yet he left that great letter on the desk that said, I'm not one to give advice, but you're now our president, and your successes are our successes, and I'm rooting for you. Now, that takes a big man
yes,
when the man
does.
Just beat you.
I think he was a great person, and I think when somebody in his family said that they thought he probably would be the greatest president that's ever walked, and I buy that.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things is when George W. Bush got up to speak, and George W. Bush, you know, is not an eloquent speaker. I think we all know that. And George W. Bush certainly had his problems that we have all criticized over the years. But I'll say that eulogy was nothing short of tremendous for his father. And he broke up at the end. And that tells you how much he loved this man.
Right, right. I thought it was something that every person should have taken the time off, and I did. And I just sat down and I said, I'm going to listen to this whole thing from one, you know, part to the next, because I think it's something that everyone should really pay attention to. This man was a great man. I don't care what party was. I never have voted for parties anyway. I believe in voting for the man, or the person.
Well, and it was great to see Democrat and Republican, every former president and first lady showed up to that funeral.
Yes.
Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter, Bill and Hillary Clinton, Barack and Michelle Obama, and Donald and Melania Trump. They all showed up.
Right. And I think that it took a lot for Mrs. Clinton to come. I really do. Because I think she hurt deeply. I really do. I watched her face. I watched her stance. I think the woman is a big person for doing it. Because we've got some women that are really catty. But that woman, I don't care if she is or isn't. I think she's a very fine person.
Well, you know what, watching Hillary at the funeral, you know, I'm sure she was not the biggest fan of the Bush family at the time.
Right.
She ran against them. But she smiled at the jokes and she showed up. They all showed. And I think that's the important thing. You know, and Jimmy Carter himself, I'm sure it's not easy for Jimmy Carter to get around at 94 years old.
Oh, I'm not either. I'm sure he is.
But he was there.
Well, I think it does take a lot of energy on our part when we get older to get around. We worry about how we're presenting ourselves. We worry about what we're saying. We worry about how we treat other people. People like to pick on us, and I don't care who knows that, but they do. They like to see if they can catch you at doing something or saying something. And why don't people let us alone? Let us enjoy life. Let us live. And if we are doing something a little bit different or difficult, you know, you're going there too, folks. I have news for you. Every last one of you are growing older day by day, minute by minute. Well, and I'm on this subject because it concerns me that people make suggestions that they don't even know what they're talking about.
Well, it is interesting that age is something that nobody gets away from.
That's exactly right.
You know, so you have to embrace it because there's no going back. We're all getting older by the minute.
Correct.
And that's life. But you know, the thing is, I guess the best advice that people can have is surround yourself with good people. Make sure they are people who have certain interest in heart and right. Not others. And I think in the end, you're okay when that happens.
I think so, too. And I think that people should take some searching of their own life, their own self. You know, because sometimes those are the ones that cause you the most problem. And I don't know why people mind other people's business. You know, I had an experience this past week where I love my friends, but they were all the place when they were hunting around for me. I go to the bank, folks, every month, the same practically day, because I have to have money to live on, and I can't get it by walking along the street and looking down for it. I got to go to the bank to get it out because I have everything put into the bank. So, you know, we have to be very careful what we say and do. And remember, like you said, we're growing older day by day. Remember that. You are, I am, everyone is.
That's
and
true.
We need to be able to look at the person in the eyes and say, look, I think you're doing okay.
And it's better than the alternative.
That's right.
I'll grow old. No problem there. When in your life, Marge, did you start to notice things changing where people started having that attitude?
Just the other day.
Just recently. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a shame.
Right. And I think to myself, what am I doing? Really, I hadn't gone anywhere all week because I've been watching the news and watching the shows and the people's talking and whatever. And we are getting older. And we do say things. But hey, you know what? Why can't we say a few things that we wanted to get off our chest? But when we do, oh boy, we're into hot water.
It can happen.
It really can.
It can happen. Now, as we head into the holiday time here, we're getting a call here. Let's see if this is one we're going to take on the air. Well, it looks like a call we can take on the air. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I've got a viewpoint on...
I didn't hear
old age. It's, you know, you're supposed to be your golden years, but the older I get, it just seems like old age is there's nothing good about it. I'd like to hear your comments on that.
Marge, our caller says the golden age, not much good about it. What do you think?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
The thoughts on the golden age is that it's not as great as it's cracked up.
Oh, no, it is not. No, yeah. No. Everything we say or do is really watched, and people make remarks, and I can say to myself, well, you know what? I could fault them on some things they say and write. And I never in my life saw things where people, when they write something down for an older person, they write it on a little piece of paper. And I said, could you give me a larger piece of paper? Because I like to be able to read it a little bit better. And they said, oh, we don't have any more paper than that. What? When since have we gotten to the point where we're rationing like we did when I was a kid in school and had a half a sheet of paper? That's what we wrote our work on, a half sheet of paper. I had a lot more to say than a half sheet of paper.
Well, you know, this whole idea of the golden years, I don't know that there is any period in your life that is golden.
I don't think so.
I think you have good times.
Oh, yes.
But I don't think there's a golden period.
No.
There's always something that can go wrong.
Oh, yes.
And there's always something that can go right.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you just, you know, life is meant to be lived, and everybody's life is different.
Right.
And you have to have a philosophy. This is what I believe. And my philosophy in life has always been, this too shall pass.
Right.
No matter how bad it is, mm-hmm. it'll pass. And I imagine I've had bad times in my 20s. I imagine I'll have bad times in my 80s. Mm-hmm. But that's life.
Right, right.
And it'll pass.
Oh, sure. And I don't let it, I'm not going to dwell on it. I'll not talk about it again because it's not that important to me. I have other things to do in life. I have people. I have two beautiful cats that were going to be homeless because they were, you know, they're destructive. They're scratching my furniture. They're scratching up my house. But you know what? They're little cats. They're 9 months old. They don't know better. Think about it. 9 months old with equating it with a child. They're into things. Nobody puts them out to pasture.
Yeah, I don't understand that. See, I want people, now people don't have to work a full-time job anymore, but if you want to work until the last day, good.
Well, I enjoyed the radio program. I hope I'm successful in it. I love it. I loved the radio when I was a kid in high school and when I was in junior high. I fortunately had good teachers, fortunately had a good principal who believed in me. And she's not alive now, but I know she knows that I'm still doing what she put me in charge of doing. And well, I'm glad for that.
Well, I think people have to have something to look forward to.
Right.
That's another big thing in life. I think retirement is fine, but I think you can't give up all structured activities.
No.
You've got to have somewhere to go to be on time every week.
Right.
And I think that's a lot of time when the downhill happens.
Right. Yeah, I don't remember ever being absent from here.
No. You know, I think this is coming up because I think the radio program started in December of 2015.
Right.
So this will be 3 years that we've been doing these shows.
Right.
Which is a good long run, and continue on.
Yes, and I don't believe I've ever missed.
I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
I don't think so. And we have a good time talking about whatever's going on. And we had a horrible thing happen this week. Somebody called in and offered $20 for me to eat a fruitcake, a whole fruitcake. Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't do it.
Well, see, I'm not. They said they would donate it to midget football, and I'm all for that.
Right.
But I don't know about eating a whole fruitcake. I
would not do it because, number one, fruitcake is something that's got lots of calories and lots of fat.
But it's also awful.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't do it.
I mean, if it was something good, tasty, I could see it.
I couldn't do it
But
at
then
all.
Somebody wanted to plop on another $5 yesterday. I don't know. I might just give the $25 myself.
Right.
Skip the fruitcake.
Right.
We talk about this every week, but it is the holiday season. Fruitcakes are awful. I just don't understand people who like them.
I don't like them at all. Never did.
Now, there was a lady last year who brought in a homemade fruitcake. Now, that was actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, no.
No, I'm not a person to eat a fruitcake. My mother made one fruitcake, and we all looked at it and went, ugh. And nobody ate it.
No.
And it was, I guess, pretty good, really. I don't know, because she was a good cook and baker. So apparently it was all right. But I'm not a fruitcake eater.
And you know, you go to these holiday parties, and you always see somebody brings a fruitcake, and nobody ever touches it.
I noticed that.
You know what I was thinking last week? There are two things that I want. I want a pineapple upside down cake.
Oh, I love those.
And a German chocolate cake.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not had either one of those for such a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I haven't either.
There for a while, I was really hooked on carrot cake.
Oh, yeah, I was too.
I love a good carrot cake. And also, I do like anything lemon, like lemon bars, lemon meringue pie. But a German chocolate cake and a pineapple upside down cake, those are good.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not had one for a long time. What's in a German chocolate cake?
A lot of chocolate, for one thing.
I think they put coconut in it, don't they?
They might. It depends on the person making it.
You know, coconut is delicious.
The only thing I don't like about coconut, it gets caught in my teeth.
You know, Brandy Downs, who will join us at 12 o'clock today, is talking about this year making homemade eggnog.
Oh, now, really?
Now, last week she said she wasn't going to make it till Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. See, I think this is a disaster waiting to happen because she's never made it before.
Oh.
Now, can you it's very difficult.
I found it to be.
Yeah. So if you make it wrong and everybody drinks it on Christmas Eve, you could get everybody sick. And you could be spending Christmas Eve in the ER.
Right.
I wouldn't want to do it.
I wouldn't. I'm not a person to bake things and send things around unless I know the people. Because somebody could be allergic to something and we don't even know it. And they may not even know it.
Well, what is in eggnog? It's egg and milk.
Right.
And there's some other ingredients there.
A lot of times people put a cinnamon in it or something spicy in it.
But how do you get the eggs so it has that texture of eggnog? Does anybody know out there, 740-383-9944? That's 740-383-9944.
I think they put some liquor in it.
Oh, I think they do liquor it up, yeah.
And I think that's something that they liquor up. I really do.
Well, I wonder, we got a Christmas card this week, and I thank the person who, it's a very neat Christmas card, and I'm going to send a Christmas card back, but it's from Sharon Russell and Bubba Cat.
Oh, yeah.
Out there listening. So we thank them for listening and sending the card. It says, to answer your question, no, I haven't been to the tree farm. And yes, the Lacklusters have one less pine tree in their backyard.
Uh-huh.
And it's, that's just great. Now, I was wondering if, because it says Sharon Russell 2004, and I'm wondering if she drew this card. Because it's from Sharon Russell.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if she drew this card, because it's very neat. It's a very nice card.
Yes, it is. And I bet she did.
Yeah. I wonder if she was ever in the greeting card business.
I don't know.
But we'll send her one back.
Yep.
So we thank Sharon and Bubba Cat. So we appreciate that. And by the way, if you want to send us a Christmas card, if you do send us a Christmas card, we will send one back to you. All you have to do is address it to WWGH Radio, 559 East Center Street. That's it. WWGH Radio, 559 East Center Street, right here in Marion. If you send us a Christmas card and write a letter in it, we will send you a Christmas card back. That's all you have to do.
Correct.
And we've got one so far, so one will be going out in the mail soon. When is it too late to send out your Christmas cards?
I would send it a couple of 3 days before Christmas would be the last.
Now I wonder if people have started to make their Christmas cookies yet, or Christmas candy. I know people do those turtles with the caramel inside, and they do that awful hardtack candy, which I don't like. And they do the Christmas cookies with the trees and the bells and the stars and all that. Are people making those right now?
I think people, yes. Some people made them and put them in tin cans, you know, like little tin cake boxes, and put a foil in there with them.
Now, nobody's bought me any or brought me any.
I just don't do it anymore.
I know
used
a lot.
To cook and bake all the month of December. I don't.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's very true that younger people don't bake like the older generation does.
Nope.
So when you find somebody from the older generation who knew how to cook from scratch and had a real recipe like for no-bake cookies and things like that, boy, it's nice to get a tin of Christmas cookies.
I found my Christmas book that has all kinds of cookie recipes, but, you know, the stuff is so difficult to find sometimes. Because they've changed so much.
Yeah.
So it's not easy to find all the ingredients.
Now, is anybody sending out their Christmas cookies at this point? Let us know. 740-383-9944. Or what do you make at Christmas? What kind of cookies go in your Christmas tins that you send out?
Well, they used to do what they called a springerly. I don't remember what it tasted like anymore.
I think the springerlies are German.
I know they are.
German. And I think they have anise in them.
Yeah, I think they do, too.
And that's the same thing that's in those fruitcakes that's awful. But in the springerly, to me, it doesn't taste as bad.
No.
I wonder what Santa's favorite cookie is.
I thought it had a lot of that kind of stuff in it, but then I couldn't find it when I opened up the cookie book. I don't know. It had a lot of stuff in it. Mm.
I know Santa's getting ready.
I know. He's working overtime.
Well, he's only got, what has he got now? He's got 18 days?
Mm-hmm. You know, we live a different life today than what I did when I was a child and my mother was making cookies and what have you. You know how you like to sample things? We weren't allowed to do that.
Well, you know what I think is, why do people have pets in the kitchen when they're cooking?
I don't know. Mine don't.
I don't understand that.
I don't want them in my kitchen, period.
Well, that's why I'm always nervous now to take cookies from people, because I don't know if they've had, you know, animals in there licking the dough or whatever they've done. It worries me.
No, I don't let my kittens, I got two beautiful kittens, but I don't let them in the kitchen and let them be around food. Now, I have friends that have come to my house and let them roam around, but I don't.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think pets are fine, and I think they're fine to have around the house at the holiday time. But, you know, pets hate Christmas trees.
Oh. Yeah, they eat them.
I know, they eat them, they jump up on them, they knock them over, they do all kinds of horrible stuff.
I saw one dragging a small Christmas tree down the hall one day.
Well, see, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's mine. That's my Christmas tree.
They break bulbs and they knock the stars over. It's a horrible thing.
They do a lot of bad things, especially when they're 9 months old.
Well, I don't, and they hate those tree skirts. They're always tangling those tree skirts up.
Right.
I don't know why. Why is a tree so appealing to an animal?
I don't know.
But they're petrified of vacuum cleaners.
That one?
They don't seem to like vacuum cleaners.
Now, mine, they won't mind a vacuum cleaner at all. Nope, they don't. They would probably take the vacuum cleaner and play with it.
I always thought, I wonder if people set vacuum cleaners in front of the tree if they would stay away from it.
Not mine. They'd probably get right up there in it.
They like the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, I can't tell you anything they're afraid of. They're not afraid of anything. The gal that had them did a beautiful job of training them. She did really a beautiful job.
Now, it's also going to be interesting because on the noon show today, Brandy on Facebook has been making these comments about how Christmas movies and Christmas shows are not, how should I put it, not politically correct, you know, that I like last week we had the conversation about Santa Claus being a bully in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I don't think he was a bully.
I don't think so either.
I mean, he did, you know, didn't like Rudolph because he had the red nose, but in the end they made up and he asked him to guide the sleigh.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't he like him?
Well, I think it's because he had a red nose.
Oh.
And all the other, you know, it was an oddity.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end it worked for Santa.
Right.
So I don't know how Santa's a bully.
I don't either. Isn't it funny how people will make up things about something they really honestly don't know?
Well, this movie has been out for 50 years, and all of a sudden, it's a tragedy.
I know.
I don't think Santa's a bully.
I don't either.
I mean, he didn't want Rudolph around because Rudolph had a red nose. But then when he needed his sleigh guided, he said, okay, Rudolph, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Right.
So what's bully about that?
You know, it's amazing what we do with things and twist things around.
Nuts.
Just amazing.
Well, we're going to have that discussion today on the noon show. When we all get in here, that'll be a Christmas edition of the noon show, The Exchange Club. But I just don't understand it. I don't understand why all of a sudden this is a problem. Is anybody else angry about this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know that movie, it's a Miracle on 34th Street.
Right.
You know, that's all about Santa on trial.
I know.
Well, now that would be, God, you couldn't make that today. That'd be traumatic.
I know.
Putting Santa Claus on trial like that. See, and I thought that was a clever movie.
I did too.
I thought to put Santa Claus on trial, I thought that's an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a shame how we change things around. I don't know who has the right to change other people's work.
Yes, these people who made these things are long dead.
Yes.
And like, what's the Grinch? Oh, man.
Oh my,
we couldn't.
Yes.
Now there's a bully. We can't have him.
Mm-mm.
But all of these stories in the end have a happy ending.
Correct.
See, that's where you got to have a bad time to have a happy ending. And right. I think that's what's lost on people.
I think so.
Just like Rudolph. You know, Santa did not want him because he had a red nose. But by the end, he was asking him to guide the sleigh.
I know. I was waiting for that to see if it was still going to be the same as it was when we were kids.
Right. So, you know, the fact that he was mean to Rudolph is kind of the point.
Right.
But I don't know. That's lost on people now.
I don't know. I just think we've taken away the beauty of what Christmas is all about.
Oh, I think so, too. People are much more prickly. They want to take away nativity scenes. If people want to have a nativity scene, let them.
That's right. My dad made us one.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I don't know. It's really a shame.
People protest everything.
I know I'm living it in the past because of my age, but I can't believe that people pick on things like that. They weren't there.
No,
how do they
no.
know about what it was? I know my grandparents talked a lot about their life, and they lived to be old. But I can tell you, they lived a good life. We lived on the, they lived on a farm. We didn't. We lived in town, but we went to the farm every weekend and helped because during the war there were no men around to help. The women were out there in that field doing the work, and I can know there's a lot of women that. We just didn't keep a house like we always did before my mother did, because my dad wouldn't let my mother work in the fields. But Margaret worked in the fields. I thought he probably thought I was a boy. I don't know. He wanted a boy, and that he worked me like a boy. But certain things he wouldn't let me do.
Well, you know, and I think it builds character among young people.
Oh, I think so.
And I think it helps them throughout their life.
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't put the kids in danger, but you have them help, and that's how they learn.
Right.
And I think it's easier to learn when you're young than when you're older.
Mm. Oh, yes. Oh, my, yes. Yes.
I think once a certain time passes, then you kind of, it's harder to pick up things. They always say a child can pick up a foreign language much easier when they're younger than when they're older.
Well, I tell you what, I could drive a tractor, I could drive a car, I could drive most anything on that farm. Of course, I couldn't go out on the road with it, but I know that I learned to drive all that stuff, and it came in handy because my mother wasn't driving it anymore, because when my father, the old our Model T Ford fell apart during the war and couldn't get parts, so my dad just went ahead and tore the thing down and gave it to the war effort. But I can remember that my dad got sick, had the mumps. And we didn't know he did. And he got very sick going home on Route 53. And my mother didn't drive. The other kids, my little sister couldn't drive. She was only about four. So my dad said, Margaret, the only way we're going to get home tonight is if you'll drive the car. Because he knew I knew how. And shift gear on the floor. And I said, but Dad, I don't really know how to drive that car. Dad said, we've got to get home, Margaret. Get back of the wheel and we've got to get home. And we got home. And I can tell you, I never was so happy to put a car in a garage in my life as I was to get that car home.
Well, you know, I think parents are different now. You know, I'll give you an example. I was in a store this past weekend looking for some ideas for Christmas shopping. And I heard, I think it was the parent. I'll assume it was the parent of the child. The child was doing something wrong, I guess. And the parent yelled, when we get home, do you want me to take the Christmas tree down? Now, what is that? I mean, I about laughed at the guy in the store because that was the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. What kind of threat is that? When I get home, do you want me to take that tree down?
I don't know. People don't really think what they're saying. And that follows through. So when he gets to be a parent, the kid does something bad, he'll say, you want me to take the Christmas tree down?
Yeah, he'll remember that moment. That little child will remember, and he'll tell
I'll
his kid,
he'll
you want
remember
me to take
that
tree home. That is so... I thought the guy needed to be medicated. I thought this guy needs to go to a psychiatrist. And he yelled it in a store. Remember when people had, like, I don't want to call it etiquette. They had etiquette.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't yell something like that in a store with a bunch of people around.
You know, we used to have tea parties when I was a kid. Girl Scouts after school. We did badges for Girl Scouts. And we decided to have a tea party. Now, we didn't know anything about a tea party. Never been to one. So my mother looked everything up, and we had a real neat tea party. And my mother was really good because she was the person that didn't work after, you know, stayed in the home. And my dad said, you're not going to work outside the home. You're going to stay home, and you're going to, when the kids come home from school, I want mom there. I want mom to help the kids with their homework. I want the children to enjoy doing their homework. And we did. I bet we had 10, 15 kids in my house every night. Mom always had a baked goods, and we all sat down and had tea.
That's nice.
We did. And my mother would sit there, and she'd be right, be part of us. And they'd go, Mrs. Ryder, what do you have tonight? Well, what do you want tonight? And, of course, I knew she had stuff in the oven because she had it in there at noon baking. And so I knew it would be there when we got there. It didn't make any difference if it was a boy or a girl or what. We had it. They were welcome.
Now, your mother never said, do you want me to take the tree down?
Oh, no.
See, isn't that nuts? Now, as a psychiatrist, Marge, don't you think that guy should probably have some kind of counseling?
I don't know. It just seems to me that children are not rewarded for things that they should be, and then they get rewarded for things that they shouldn't be rewarded for. I don't know.
You know, I just don't understand. I mean, okay, he's going to take the tree down and all of a sudden Christmas isn't going to happen. It's a little nutty when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But people are a little nutty. I think they enjoy being a little nutty.
I think that's probably the norm of this society today.
The norm of the society is to be a little nuts. But when he yelled at that little kid, and this kid couldn't have been more than 5 or 6, maybe not even that old.
That must have scared that little kid.
Oh, I'm sure it did. When we get home, do you want me to take the tree down?
Now, did you do things like that, Charlie, to your kids?
No. You never threatened the kids by taking the tree down, Charlie?
No.
What do you think of a person who would do such a thing?
I don't know.
They're nuts. Clearly, they're nuts.
I guess you could say they're kind of bad.
Well, you could see that he was clearly stressed out. Now, I'm not faulting the parent for being clearly stressed out, because clearly he was. But what kind of threat is that? I'm going to take the tree down.
That's pretty bad. That's dealing with the innermost things that children love, your Christmas tree and presents.
Traumatize the child.
I don't believe my dad put trees. We had a little bitty tree, but remember during the war, we didn't have lights for our trees half the time. Once they went out, we didn't get lights because we couldn't buy them. I remember my dad stopping at all these places trying to buy a few bulbs.
Charlie has found the tangled wires.
Well, I tell you, this is the ultimate.
How does that happen?
Ah.
How does that keep happening? Do you do that, Charlie? No. I never sit on that side of the table.
Here's the one that does it.
Is it. Somebody tangles those up every week.
Man.
If you don't stop tangling those wires, I'm going to take the Christmas tree down.
Boy.
This is the world we live in now. How do they get all tangled up?
What are you doing?
By not being careful when they're put down.
Well, somebody must do it. I don't know who does it. We've untangled them many times.
Yeah.
And people keep tangling them back up.
Well, back when I was in radio, didn't dare.
You had cord separators.
Have messes like this. Woohoo! Man, everything had to be neat.
Except the people who worked there.
You're right.
Didn't matter how they came in.
Well, you had to kind of train them.
They came in from insane asylums. Did you ever work with the guy who used to drive around in the radio station van and scream at people?
Yeah, that's for sure, yeah.
He got fired for that. Finally, he screamed at the wrong person.
He quit.
No, he got fired.
He did?
Yeah, because he screamed. He told somebody.
I thought that was a program director.
Well, see, there's more than one lunatic in radio. No, this person was at a football game, and they
flipped. And Jeff Ruth was a passenger.
Yes, yes.
And embarrassed him to all heck and because
he, yeah.
Yeah, the driver leaned out the window and, yeah.
Told them where they could go. In the van. Huh. With the radio station on the side of
it. I thought that was a program director that went to Maine to become a manager of Wendy's.
That's right. He stepped up in the world. You know, and years later, they had me working at the Red Cross blood drives. And his mother stayed in Marion, and she used to work the blood drives.
Hmm.
Her name was Dit. She's the only person I've ever known. Maybe it was a nickname, but her name was Dit.
Diff?
No, Dit. D-I-T.
Dit.
Dit. And it was her and this other older lady. But I tell you, the other older lady, I think she was around during the Civil War. Because she was hanging around at this Legion. And boy, she was just, you know, you better do this. They always put me in the canteen with these two older ladies. Now, Dit, she didn't care. She was not like her son. Yeah. So the father must have been crazy.
His name was Dat, wasn't it?
Dat. Dit and Dat. And his name was?
Dat.
Bill.
Oh, Bill?
The guy who got let go, Bill. Yeah. Well, we won't say his last name because he could still be living.
Well, that's right. He might be listening up in Maine.
At a Wendy's.
Yeah.
He's at a Wendy's up there. Mm-hmm. He stepped up. Probably paid better.
I'm sure.
I'm sure the Wendy's.
Radio paid next to nothing.
That's right.
You had to get your enjoyment out of just being in radio.
Can you imagine if somebody came into that Wendy's and ordered a value meal and the customer didn't like the fries just right? Can you imagine him? Let me talk to the manager. And here he comes. We're done. We'll be back in 10 minutes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, your place for holiday fun. For Marion's reigning queen of dance of 75 years, Martha Dowse.
'Twas the night